Welcome to The Practical Intuitive, where host Robin Fritz explores mind, body, and spirit for the real world. Robin is an intuitive, spiritual consultant, and past life regression specialist based in Seattle, Washington. As The Practical Intuitive, she explores life on our conscious, evolving planet, our mother. It's all here, from how the world really works to intuition, the human-animal bond, mediumship, clearing space with space cooperating, and spirituality. It's Robin Fritz, The Practical Intuitive, helping you master body, mind, and spirit for the real world. No ifs, ands, buts, or BS ever.
Welcome to The Practical Intuitive, Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World. It's Robin Fritz, and we're pre-recording this show for Monday, November 21st, and it's actually turns out to be one of those significant days. It's November 17th, yesterday, was one of the days that I lost one of my beloved animal companions. He's back in a new body, but we still remember our beloveds, and it's a perfect opportunity to talk about how much we love them, how much we miss them, and how we pretty much often want them to come back and what that means. So today's show is talking about the human-animal bond, from what it's like to live as family members with our animals to what happens with reincarnation. So we're going to talk about this subject in context of my work as an ambassador to our mother, our planet, and to your work and lives as fellow ambassadors to our planet, as people who live and work together in harmony and equality with everything on the planet, which is also alive, like we are. Has consciousness and a soul and a job to do and a responsibility to do it and opinions. And if you've ever listened to your animal families, you know about opinions for sure. So today we're going to talk about how we see our animal companions, how I urge you to look at them as family members, not as teachers and gurus, and walk through how we honor our mother, our planet, and our families with our animals in what I might call first contact, right? We can connect with all beings on the planet, but it's often easiest for us to connect with our animal companions as equals on the planet because they respond to us, right? And we respond to them. They'll look at us, dogs will want to go on a walk, so will your cat, but getting your cat to go on a walk and behave is not exactly the easiest thing. Or they're sitting on your computer, as mine is today, thinking that's a good way to keep warm. So we're going to be talking about the human-animal bond, but as we get started on this, I want you to relax and pull up your intuition in the way that it works most strongly for you. So you may feel the feelings and emotions of other beings, even through the radio waves like this. You may see other beings intuitively that aren't physically there, or colors, bright colors, auras. You may hear them chat with you, or you may simply know you're connecting with them. And as you tap into your strongest intuitive ability, you're going to get a boost with that by connecting with my partner, Fallon. Fallon is a citrine Lemurian crystal, currently in the shape of a crystal ball. And it's a very powerful, ancient power crystal. And you connect with him in the way that your intuition works most strongly. So if you sit back in your chair, please don't do this if you're driving or otherwise operating some kind of equipment. Just sit back and relax. Take a deep breath. Feel yourself settling into your chair. Breathe in all healthy energy. And as you exhale, just give yourself permission to tap into your intuition and to consider the stories and the ideas that I tell today in the context of your animal family members. And as you breathe in all healthy energy, imagine you're connecting with Fallon, that gold light. Imagine it as a light coming straight to your heart. And with each beat of your heart, it floods your body with healthy energy. So as you breathe in and out, imagine that gold light going from your heart up into your head, down into your shoulders, your arms, your fingers, down your torso, your hips, your legs, your feet. Just imagine that gold light coursing through your body. And if you're a person who hears things talking, you'll know that Fallon has quite a sense of humor. And he's there to support you this hour. So let's talk about the human-animal bond. It's literally one of my favorite subjects. I tend to be somewhat obnoxious when I talk about it because I have certain things that I have learned through my lifetime with animals. And it's important to me to share that because I know when I share the stories or the experiences, what I've learned between my animals and my animal clients and their human partners, people relax and realize, oh, I had an experience similar to that. Oh. And we become enlightened with ideas and concepts that we didn't think about. And then we can translate that connection with our animal families to connecting with other beings in our lives, our homes, our businesses, literally the radio waves that I'm talking to you over the internet, radio waves, whatever, your cars, the sidewalk, trees, right? It's all alive, all ready for you to connect. But those of us who live with animals, here's the thing. My animals are my family, my kids, and also at times my work partners, right? And I've both grown and regressed as a human in relation to my animals. And right now I'm trying to convince my cat not to sit on my computer. So that's what happens in a life. She'll, come on, babe. You don't want to accidentally disconnect us. So most of us can say the same thing about our animals, that they both help us grow in relationship as a family, which is what families are all about, humans and animals. But we're also not the best all the time. And that's kind of family life, right? You don't always get along. So I know you could probably say the same thing. We adore our animal families. We adore our children, our parents, our relatives, right? And we grow because we're in connection with our animals, because they're the closest we get to in the world of recognizing that another species or another being has consciousness and then must have a soul and clearly has opinions and attitudes and choices to make. So we have all experienced that. So we'll watch our animals play, pout, beg for treats, refuse to go into the vet's office, goof off on walks. I tell you, when spring comes in Seattle and my dog and I go for walks, and my previous dogs too, all three of them, Cavalier, King Charles Spaniels, I've never seen the inside of more tulips in my life as I did when I started going for walks with my Cavaliers. They're looking inside those tulips and just checking everything out, and it makes you realize that we're not always as present as they are. They're just out there going for a walk and experiencing what's around them, right? I can honestly say I'm usually a better person because of my connection with my animals. I could probably say that about human kids too, but I wasn't lucky enough to have human children. Lots of nieces and nephews, some of them even really family connected, blood connection as opposed to heart connection, or both. I've also regressed as as a parent to my animals, as a partner to my animals. And that means I'm sometimes not as patient or as understanding as I could be, or I miss things. I miss what they're up to or miss what they want or something, right? So, in other words, I am daily reminded that I'm human. And that can be a good thing, right? Because we are daily reminded to be humble. And that is definitely a good thing. Our tendency as humans to be arrogant, to think we're the apex of civilization, that gets damped down really quickly when our animals are interacting with us and showing us that, hey, they've got these things going on in their lives, and get over yourself as a human. So how do we look at our relationship with our animals in context with our mother, our planet, our conscious evolving planet? So as I said when I restarted my show in October 2022, wow, that's really 2022. I'm here to talk about culture and life in terms of mindset and what that means and how we can live in love as equals with all life on the planet. What does collaboration mean in that sense then? It means that we're connecting and we're equal and we're learning to give and take with all of life around us, from our animals to our homes to our businesses. And that's what body, mind, and spirit actually means in the world. And it takes those blinders off and allows us to see all that is going on around us, or a lot of it anyway, and to figure out where we fit in that situation. So it brings up, in context of talking with our mother, the two mindsets I'm always talking about. One is the human paradigm, and that's where humans throughout history and our cultures and our religions tell us that we're in charge of the planet and we're better than everything else, except maybe for spiritual team members or gods and goddesses that somehow are above us. And it's a mindset we lived with, and then we die and we find out it's not true, right? So then there's also what I call the Earth paradigm, or an easier way of saying it, planetary connection, where we look at our mother, our conscious evolving planet, and look at how patient she is with us, how we're messing her body up in many ways with our overpopulation and our use of resources, and are always not always paying attention to how to live in harmony with the overall planet and the other beings with us, but acknowledging that everything around us has a soul, is conscious, is alive, has a job to do, a responsibility to do it, and a choice, right? Free choice, whether they're going to do it or not, and opinions, always opinions. So as we get into that, and the idea of what planetary connection in the Earth paradigm means for us, how does that translate into life with our animal families? Well, today, again, like all of my shows, I want to share stories. Mostly they're my stories, my connections with animals here in this hour. But I'm inviting you to look at those stories in connection to your own life with your animals. And you'll notice some similarities, and you'll notice some areas where you go, oh, Robin missed this. Maybe I missed that. You know, ways that we can learn from stories together. And you know, stories have been the way we've taught and we've learned and we've shared throughout history. And we don't do enough of them. We tend to dictate rather than to share stories. And but after I tell the stories, I'm going to talk about why they matter. And we've got a couple minutes to the break here. So let me pop in and talk about reincarnation and the way I experienced it, even though I didn't know I was experiencing it. So many years ago, I had an English Cocker Spaniel. Her name was Maggie, and I adored that dog, and I still adore her after all these years. And I remember playing with her one day, and we were living in Michigan. I'd moved from Seattle to Michigan with my ex, obviously not my ex at the time, Ann Arbor, Michigan, for him to go to school. And I ended up going to school there as well. But while I was there, I adopted an English Cocker Spaniel. And I was playing with her one day, and we're sitting on the floor in the living room, and I tossed a ball, and I was so eager for her to learn to fetch. Like, you're a dog, please fetch. And she's like, yeah, that's not going to happen. I mean, the concept of fetching just never occurred to her. So I'd throw a ball, and she'd run, and she'd jump on it, and then she'd come back and look at me like, okay, when are you going to throw it again? Never, ever in her entire life did she fetch a ball. And one day, out of the blue, I'm sitting on the floor and I'm laughing and I'm cuddling her, and we're just enjoying the fact that, yeah, she can't fetch, but she's pretty awesome. When I looked at her and I said to her, if you ever decide to come back to me, please learn how to fetch. And I remember saying that because I remember how shocked I was when I said it. Because I'd never once thought about reincarnation or how reincarnation might affect me, or that I would do it, or that my dog would do it. And yet I said, if you ever come back to me, please learn how to fetch. So we'll break for commercial and I'll finish the story at the end of that.
Your conscious connection to a more mindful world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
This segment of The Practical Intuitive is brought to you by Andrea Bovey, licensed insurance agent at BoveyInsurance.com. Andrea specializes in affordable health insurance. Yes, affordable health insurance exists. It's called a defined benefit plan, and it's a budget concept. That means you'll be able to see any doctor, access outpatient services, receive covered preventative services such as mammograms and colonoscopies, enjoy unlimited free virtual doctor visits, and be covered for urgent care, ER, and hospital visits. There's more. During a free consultation, insurance agent Andrea Bovey can help you decide if you should add critical illness or accident coverage, so all your risks are covered when something serious occurs. All this while still delivering savings. Yes, the premiums can be much lower than those in marketplace plans. Ready to check it out? Go to BoveyInsurance.com to book a free consultation with insurance agent Andrea Bovey. Andrea is based in Arizona, but she works by phone and webinar so she can help you wherever you are. Andrea works with her clients to find the best healthcare products at the best prices. Ready to learn more? Contact Andrea Bovey at BoveyInsurance.com. That's B-O-V-E-Y Insurance.com.
This is Kathy Beal, host of Celestial Compass, featuring astrology you can use. Celestial Compass points you to what's going on in the sky and what you can do with it down here on Earth. We also explore fun, effective, and cosmic tools for navigating this adventure we call life. Join me the first and third Monday of the month at 5 p.m. Eastern Time for Celestial Compass. It's enlightening, entertaining, and empowering.
You came across someone struggling with hunger. How would you recognize them? Would you notice an 8-year-old girl who's not excited for summer break
because she may not be having lunch again until September?
Or a war veteran who's having a hard time
landing a job and getting back on his feet?
I am the 1 in 8 Americans who struggle with hunger. I am hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Practical Intuitive Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World. It's Robin Fritz. It's a sunny, cold day in Seattle. Just like in October, we're setting records for dryness and sunshine when it should be raining. And there you go, right? Just that kind of a year. So I was telling the story of how years ago, in living in Michigan, I turned to my English Cocker Spaniel, Maggie, and said, if you ever decide to come back to me, please learn how to fetch. Like, I never thought about reincarnation at all. Well, Maggie and I moved back to the West Coast, and she got sick and died, and I was so traumatized, 12 years went by before I would consider another animal in my life. Yeah, that kind of thing happens. You get traumatized and you just can't do it anymore. But finally, one day I thought, okay, I'm ready for another dog in my life. So I did some research and I ended up choosing the Cavalier King Charles Spaniel. Long and short of it is I met a breeder. We agreed on a puppy. And I drove south from Seattle to Vancouver, Washington to pick the puppy up and bring her home. And when I walked through the door, there were 2 adult dogs and a puppy, and the puppy behind the adult dogs was bouncing up and down. And when our eyes met, this was 1998, when our eyes met, I had this shock of like a double take. And I heard this shocked voice in my head go, "Oh, it's you." And there was a part of me that said it right back, "Oh, it's you." It was like we instantly knew each other. It still took me a while to figure it out. So I brought her home, and the next day we were playing. I was sitting on the floor, and I threw a ball. She ran off, ran after the ball, brought the ball back, dropped it in my lap, and looked up at me and laughed in my face. And that's when I remembered, oh, I had asked Maggie if she ever came back to please learn how to fetch. And here was this dog 12 years later laughing at me, dropping a ball in my lap. It still took me a couple of years to figure out what was going on, because I wasn't who I am today, wasn't aware even that there was a thing called intuition, even though I was using it. It just wasn't there. But eventually I started thinking about how I knew this dog from someplace. And I recognized that she had been Maggie. And I was like, I went from here to Michigan, met a dog out of the blue that somebody sent me to a breeder, get this dog, and yet she's part of my soul family. Like, how did that happen? How did we go from here to there and she's my soul family? And then she comes back when we're here. But there was another thing I recognized, that I've known her for a lot longer than that. And okay, are you ready for this? Because a lot of people aren't. I started to realize that the first time I knew her in this lifetime, she was human, in a human body. And I thought, well, I'm going to test that theory. So one night she was lying across the bed, kind of resting, sleeping, and I'm reading, and I look up at her, and I'm thinking, here's a good time to test it. And so I said that human's name out loud, and Murphy froze. And she slowly raised her head, and she turned and looked at me, and I went, I got you. Yeah, she was this Earth Mother woman that I knew as a kid. And now that soul is like the most active, most advanced soul I know, and has been in the lives of all of the children that grew up together in that neighborhood. And she's been animals and she's been human. I don't know how she does it, why she does it, but we're a big soul group of some kind, and we're all in it together. And it's truly amazing. And I don't know all the answers. I just know some of the answers, kind of how they affect me. And that's the story of how I learned that my dog had come back to me, but she'd always been with me and through many lifetimes. And that I'd first known her in this lifetime as human. Well, then one day, some years later, actually not that much later, fall of 2001, all of a sudden Maggie was here in the house in ghost form, if you will, bouncing around the house. And I'm like, what the heck is going on? And I look at her and I'd say, what are you doing here in my office in spirit form when you're in the other room in a body? Well, I found out what she was doing. She was trying to convince Murphy that it was that she could make room for another dog in the house. Nobody asked me, right? Hey, Murphy, want another dog in the house? So when I was connected with another Cavalier and she had puppies and I went to visit them and my friend, I picked each puppy up, 3 weeks old, snuggled them a little bit, gave him back to their mom. But when I picked up this little tricolor boy and tucked him under my chin, it was like an electric current went off. And I went, oh, this one is mine. And that became my beloved Alki, named after the beach I lived at, who died in 2014 on November 17th. Ah, Lord. So how does this matter to us? What does reincarnation mean to us? Well, you know, the soul has a job to do. In every single lifetime, the soul's job is to learn how to love. And it does that in whatever body it chooses to do its other work in, whatever that work is. And sometimes we know what that is, and sometimes we don't. You know, like, oh, you're going to grow up to be president of the United States, or you're going to grow up to live under a bridge in the cold and the rain. Who knows? You know, what do we choose to do when we come into this life? Well, you know, we have a goal to learn to love ourselves, and then life happens, right? But when we think about reincarnation in our animals, one of the things that I have appreciated in my professional practice, especially with animals and their families, is to talk about the dying process and to help them through that process. And then even to talk about, well, are they coming back again to be with us? And we all want them to come back, right? That's how cloning got invented. And I tell you, if you want your animal to come back, cloning is not the answer. It creates a body. It doesn't create a soul. And the soul is what you fell in love with, a soul that emerged in that body and created its unique personality. So I can tell you, for the years that Murphy and Alki were together in this household, there were two separate bodies, one soul, the same soul. I don't know how they do that. I know this particular soul, as I said, was this very active in all the families that she knew when she was alive here on the planet in a human body. But, you know, is it okay that we all just come together and have fun together in our families? Because, you know, really, that's what a lot of it is like. But when we think about the concept of reincarnation, right, think about what that means in terms of animals and humans. We don't really have any trouble thinking about our animals coming back to us. We suffer every time we adopt one because we know it's going to end badly, right? And yet we keep doing it. We keep loving them. And sometimes they keep coming back to us. And sometimes new ones come. But I can tell you plenty of times they come back to us and we don't even know. I mean, I didn't know Maggie in her entire life was my reincarnated earth mother from my childhood. And yet we had this wonderful life where we were very close. So do we need to know if they've reincarnated? Not necessarily. What we need to know is how we respect them in their bodies as souls and what that means for them. So Let me tell you another story about reincarnation. When I was growing up, we had what they at that time called Hungarian Vislas, or rust-colored dogs. My dad had met in World War II when he was in Italy, Hungarian breed. Now they don't call them. My neighbor next door here has a Vislas. Anyway, we had two of them, and they were both called Rusty when I was growing up. And one day, or one spring, I was thinking of buying a property on Vashon Island across from here and moving from Seattle to Vashon Island. And a friend had found a house that she thought I might like, and she was telling me about this English setter, I think it was, that the people owned, and they were selling the house that they had built next door to them out in the country. She said, what a beautiful dog this was. And we finished the conversation and I hung up. And the next thing I knew I was talking with this dog. And as we were talking back and forth, telepathically, me here and over there on Vashon, I realized that this was a reincarnation of one of our Rusty dogs. And I was like shocked and like, whoa. First of all, I hadn't thought about the Rusty dogs in a very long time, obviously, but that an animal in my family would reincarnate in somebody else's family and I'd never know it for its entire life. That was a surprise because, you know, they do come back, but they don't necessarily come back to us. They have their own soul job to do. And that's what I want to talk about later after the story. So anyway, so we're on our way to see this family and the house. And all of a sudden, this dog is going, hurry, hurry, hurry. They're taking me inside. I want to see you. I want to meet you again. I want to see you. And I'm like, okay. We rushed over there and we pulled in the driveway and they were outside with this dog. And as I opened my door, the dog came running across the driveway and leaped right on top of me in the driver's seat and was like, hi, 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 hi. I love you. I missed you. How wonderful to see you. I'm so happy to see you again. And my dogs were in the back seat barking their heads off at this strange dog who was all over me. The people were mortified and it took them a bit to get the dog off of me and I was laughing. And they took the dog inside. But here's the rest of that story. The dog who was Rusty and I had several conversations and one of them was, you're not going to take me away, are you? And I said, of course not. This is your lifetime with this family. Oh, because I really love them and I want to stay with them. And I said, that's wonderful. I'm so happy for you. And I'm just so happy to have the chance to meet you again. And, you know, I hope you have a wonderful life. And what a joy it is to see you again. And the other thing was, it told me what happened all those years ago when this dog was Rusty. Well, it turned out my older brother and the dog were walking home from the pond up the hill. And back in those days, even today, people don't use leashes like they should. And the dog got hit by a car and died. Or actually, it was a pickup truck. And I remember that vividly. What I did not know was that my brother had deliberately stepped into the road hoping the car would hit him. And the dog interfered and saved his life, pushed him out of the way so he wouldn't get hit. In other words, my dog, our Rusty dog, saved my suicidal brother. Was 14 years old at the time. Why would he do that? Because he knew he was sick and dying. We didn't know. And he couldn't face it. So reincarnation, soul purpose, whatever, what happens. I'm sure the dog didn't come into its life thinking it was going to save my brother from killing himself. Or that my brother really maybe even thought about it beyond that moment. But the dog was very aware that that's what had happened. And that's what he told me all those years later. And I'm sharing it because it's an example of what we don't know about our lives. About we don't know about our animals' lives. And that sometimes we don't even know they're back, or they're not back with us in our current families. And yet they have a profound effect on us, and we have one on them. I mean, that this dog would recognize me all those years later and point it out. I mean, wow, right? So it brings up one of the things that I talk about a lot and gets a lot of people mad at me, which is these animals are souls and bodies. They've chosen that animal body to do a particular job in. Sometimes they come back to us. My kids have come back to me over and over again. My current cat and my current dog are the reincarnations of the previous cat and the previous dog. And I never asked them to come back. They chose to come back. And that's one of the things that I work with my client base. Don't ask them to come back, because you may be interfering with what their soul needs to do in that next lifetime. And as an animal body, that body trained over eons to work with humans will be more tempted to come back to serve us rather than to serve themselves. So if we're talking about connecting with our mother, our beloved planet, and we're talking about being equals with all life, and we look at our animal families as, you know, first contact with understanding that we are equal with others, we're not above other beings on the planet, then we need to recognize when they come into our life and when they leave our lives, what they're doing, what they're up to, and how we can help them. And that's the complete opposite of asking them to be our teachers and gurus and some other concept. So we'll talk about that as we finish up the show after this break. Hang in there.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose: to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free. AscendingHearts.com.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations, to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
If I could be you,
and you could be me, for just 1 hour.
If you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Welcome back to the Practical Intuitive Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World. It's Robin Fritz, and we're talking about the human-animal bond and how we live with our animals as family members. So with the stories I've shared with you today about reincarnation, about what these guys are up to in their animal bodies, I want to talk about a few concepts that I don't like. That I know are wrong from my personal experience. And that's the only place I can ever go with what I do in my work. So there's this weird idea out there that animals are somehow part of a soul group. And I'm like, I don't know where that idea came from. But I think sometimes people look at so-called spiritual teachers and they respect them for what they learn and understand, but our understanding, as I've said, is human-oriented and not planetary or even universally oriented. But if we look at the planet as our mother is asking us to do, looking at the planet as a conscious evolving being, and that all life on the planet is here to serve our planet and serve each other as equals, then whether we're a tree or a dog or a cat or a human or a car or a house or a sidewalk, we're all equals and we all have a job to do in that incarnation. But somehow people, at least I guess, my guess is this is how it got that way. Other people are going to probably very much disagree with me. But if you think of humans as the ultimate, then you're going to look at animals as being group souls, you know, and that's like ridiculous because of the stories I've shared with you. All my animals were very distinct personalities and very distinct souls having multiple experiences. And I can tell you that from my experience with other people's animals and following them in previous lifetimes. Stories can go on forever, but I'm writing a book about that. But if we're looking at them as being a group soul, then we're not looking at them as being equals to us. And we end up losing out on some of the great connection we can have with them as family members and as equals, right? So, yeah, my kids don't drive the car. That's life, right? I can't drive a car. Although I know my dog Murphy did try to fly an airplane one time, but that's a different story. And it never got off the ground. It wasn't even turned on, but there you go. If we get used to the idea that we aren't above but are instead equal, then we wouldn't look at something as a soul group and think that it's somehow not as advanced. We would look at them as what they are, as souls and bodies, as having purpose to be in that body. And one of the purposes I've noticed in my animal family members is they're extremely advanced and they have these huge cosmic jobs that I didn't even know existed. And I've talked about that in previous shows where my dog Murphy, for example, my first Cavalier, one of her jobs that she freely chose was to be an ambassador to the Dragon Kingdom and welcome the dragons back into the world. And when I heard that, I'm like, wait, dragons are real? Okay, fine. And there's a job like that? Like, oh my God. I mean, what other kind of jobs are there out there that humans have no idea of? And I'm grateful that I didn't say to her, why would a dog have that job? Because it never even occurred to me. What occurred to me was, wow, there's a job like that. How can I help you? Right? So when you look at your animal families, look at them and say, how can I help you be the best dog, cat, fish, whatever you are? How can I help you? Just like they're trying to help us be our best. But they're not part of a soul group and they are not our teachers and our gurus. And here's what happens when we think of them that way. We keep them from becoming the best that they can be in that body. And so in a sense, we're holding them back from learning to love themselves in that body and possibly from doing that other job that they came here to do besides being part of our families. And that means that they've lost out. And so has the world and so have we as family members. So there was a time when I took a class years ago, an animal communication class from a well-known animal communicator. And she was making me crazy because she was all of this, you know, like we're superior and there are teachers and our gurus. And there are a lot of people who teach animal communication. Oh, they're here to serve us. Like that is such complete bullshit, people. They are here to grow their souls just as we're here to grow our souls. And if anything else, we're learning up with them to learn how that works. So in this class, this teacher was dragging this poor cat out of a carrier and walking it around a room of like 60 people. Well, come on. We all know cats. We've lived with cats. Do you know any cat that would be open to being dragged around a room full of 60 people as it's being hugged and told it's a teacher and a guru? Well, that cat was not happy. So it was back in its crate, and I said to a person that I had met in the class, I said, will you cover for me? I need to talk to this woman. I couldn't let it go. It would have been wrong for me not to say something to that woman. So she was there petting her cat, and I went up to chat with her briefly. And she's like, oh, this is my teacher and my guru. And this poor cat was like ready to just chuck it off and start a new life. I said, like, hang on there. And I asked the woman, I said, you know, can you see how tense and upset your cat is? And I said, what if you step back and just told the cat to be itself and quit pushing the need to be healed and taught at it? Yeah. Okay. I overstepped myself, right? I do that sometimes. And I don't even apologize for it anymore. And so she might have thought I was an asshole, but she did stop. And she looked at me and she was surprised. And then she changed and she did exactly what I suggested. She stepped back and she asked the cat to just be what it wanted to be. And the cat immediately relaxed. And the woman looked at the cat and she looked at me and she says, I see it now. And yeah, again, I overstepped myself. But wouldn't you, if you saw an opportunity to help, and you know, whatever you want to say about that, go ahead and say. We're here to help each other in the bodies that we've come into this life in. And sometimes we're lucky enough to share them with animals as well as other people. And I tell you that most of the time my kids feel like they're lucky to share their lives with me, even though I can be cranky at times. And I say one thing that all three of us really like is to sleep a lot. So there you go with that. And I'd have to say that my current cat and dog have these cosmic jobs that they came back to do and so far have shown no inclination to do either of them. And I'm like, fine, you know, you change your mind, you get to do that. And I'm still going to love you, and I don't care what your job is. If you need help on it, just let me know. But you're here, and I love you, and I'm so grateful that you're here and that you're back again, and let's have fun. So what I want to tell you today to share with you is if we're looking at the human-animal bond, look at it as learning up with our animal families. That's a concept that I think we can all relate to. And by learning up with them, I'd say, look, over the course of history, we somehow came together with cats and dogs and horses and whatever, all these animals. Some of them we brought into our home. Some of them are a little bit too big for that. Whatever, we've created these amazing bonds with our animals. In the last, I'd say, 40 years or so, when animal communication became a thing, and when people started to just open up to love, right? And to love not just ourselves or our humans, but to open up and love beyond that. And sure, people have always treasured their pets, right? Their pets. But now there's something else. Now people are actively calling their animals their family. And that's what I call learning up. So at one point, we came together with them to survive, right? Mutual survival when we didn't have cars and electricity and all the other things that we have now. But now is an opportunity to learn up with them, to look at soul purpose. Their sole purpose as individuals and our sole purpose as a family is to grow in love and respect together. I can tell you that the last 2 years of my life have been pretty much hell, going through what I never even thought of, which was the process of getting a new hip when I was fine one day and not the next. And then with the pandemic, literally could not walk for 8 months before the surgery and 4 months afterwards. And literally took a year and a half to even be able to breathe without excruciating pain. My cat was gone for a month, my dog for two, and the first night that we were all back together again, it felt like life was good again. It was back together, and they were as grateful to be home as I was. Because together we have learned how to grow in love, and that means to go through whatever we're going through, the good times and the bad times, and doing it together. So our sole purpose as families to support each other in the way that we can to grow in love and acceptance. So as we get close to ending the show today, I would like to ask you, how would you like to be treated? Right? And that's, you know, don't have to talk to your kids about, are you reincarnated or did we live together in a 14th century hovel? Who cares, right? I mean, it's great. It's nice. I mean, I'm thrilled that my kids are back with me. But the big thing is we're here now in bodies. And if you want to learn to connect, to be an ambassador to our planet, to be someone who knows that everything is alive and has a soul and is conscious and has a job to do and a responsibility to choose to do it or not, and opinions, right? Planetary connection, the way the world really operates, whether humans recognize it or not, to honor our mother and all of the souls around us, especially those who are in our families, then learn to use your intuition, however it works for you, seeing, hearing, feeling, knowing, whatever it works. Here's how you do that. Get yourself grounded and balanced, right? Put a shield up so that things that come looking for people who are using their intuition and should be going and doing something else aren't bothering you. And invite your animal to have a conversation with you, okay? If it's sleeping, leave it the heck alone, right? This idea of jumping into their heads while they're sleeping or somehow invading their privacy. Don't do anything with your animal companion that you wouldn't want someone to do to you. So ask them if they're willing to have a conversation. Sometimes they just want to sleep or eat or just hang out. And sometimes they want to have a conversation. So ask them. Ground balance shield. Hey, would you like to have a conversation? What would you like to talk about? Well, I'd like to know, like, what do you like to eat, right? Show me what you like to eat. And then over time, you progress, right? And at the end of that conversation, say, hey, thanks for having a conversation. And you can even write it down in a notebook so you learn what they're saying. And you'll have these amazing experiences with your animals. If you say, well, I can't use my intuition like you can, well, maybe you can't. You use it in a different way. And maybe you're not as strong as other people, but that doesn't mean you can't just do it, right? And believe the answers that you get. And they can be amazing, and that's kind of how you know you're getting an answer, right? But learn to learn up with your animal families, and then expand from there to your home, to your car. When I teach intuition classes, I take people out and introduce them to my car. I have them take a piece of fruit, and they're like, what the heck is wrong with you? And then they taste the fruit and touch the car, and then they are suddenly connecting with my car. It is an amazing world out there, people. Start with connecting with your animals. Find out what they're up to, what they're thinking, what they like, what they don't like, what's scaring them, what's making them happy, when they need to cuddle, all kinds of things. And when you need it too, you say, hey, you know what? I need to be cuddled, right? And see what happens. Because the world is really more magnificent than you ever imagined. And your animals are there to live their lives with you. And we can learn a lot by just relaxing and saying, hey, we're humans. You know, it's a tough job being a human because we're just not as advanced as everything else around us. So learn with them, have fun with them, enjoy them. Understand that the better you communicate with your animals, the more relaxed you can be with connecting with things that so-called aren't alive to you, because they're not responding to you like your dog will turn away or your cat will go, really? Really? Hang in there. Enjoy your families. And experience awe. The awe of connecting with them, of being chosen to live with them, of their choosing to live with you. It is an amazing world out there. and quit thinking that we're on top of it and we're in charge and that we should tell other beings what to do. Yeah, everybody has to follow certain rules. Have fun. Enjoy it. And I will be back in December with new shows. Thanks for tuning in. You can find me at robynfritz.com, RobynFritz.com. Personal and business intuition, animal communication, spiritual services like soul progression clearing and past life regression. Take care. We'll be in touch.